Okay. The particular Shaila of tonight was we spoke about a Mashul a couple of weeks ago, and we called it the Shaila of the Week. But I was the Balbov of the Shaila. I asked myself the Shaila, I tried to give myself the answer. I'm not sure I'm going to give the right answer. We'll see what's going to work with the Shaila itself. The question happened a couple of weeks ago in our own home on the first Shabbos. I was shouting Havdalah, and I got to the bracha of Bormin Abisamim, and I said Bormin Abisamim, and I picked up some Summon to smell, and there was absolutely no smell to them. It was zero. Simple. What had happened, apparently, I think that they had been Abdullah and Shul, if you want to say, they had grape juice over the Besamim, and it destroyed, it smelled like grape juice, it didn't smell like Besamim anymore. So now, all of a sudden, I realized, wait a second, now, I may have a potential brachas issue right now. And no matter which direction I turn, I have a brachas issue, because if I want to go ahead and take more Besamim, I may have to recite another bracha, because I didn't have in mind to take an additional Besamim. That's one potential problem. If I want to just kind of leave it the way it is, so then I have just recited the bracha that no matter what, wasn't really tofes. The bracha didn't really take effect. So the bracha was, in effect, the bracha matalah. I'm not saying that I intentionally meant to make a bracha matalah, but the bracha really had no meaning in halacha because it related to something that didn't exist. So the question is, so therefore what? The problem is that that bracha, Bomer Yavisamim, was said in between the bar kriyat gafen and the drinking of the wine, like it's always said. So if you recite Havdalah normally and you have a besamim and an aish and Havdalah, everything is going to say there, so then that's not a bracha levatol, that's not a hefsek, that's what's supposed to happen. But since something out of the ordinary happened, and the bracha moment of besamim in effect got revoked, so does it turn around now and pose a problem? Do we say that the bracha moment of besamim that was recited in the sense of Havdalah, does it serve as a hefsek, which would now potentially necessitate another bracha bar pei gafen? The basic nutshell of the shaila was as follows. I recited Bar Pei Hagafen for Havdalah, I recited Bar Pei Hagafen, came to the realization that the Besamim didn't have an ounce of smell to it, and now I want to know, is my original Bar Pei Hagafen just got ruined because there was just a hefsek between the original Bar Pei Hagafen, which would now necessitate an additional Bar Pei Hagafen. That's the shot. So let's backtrack a little bit and understand why we make Havdalah the way we do. So before we can understand the Yotzei Min HaKlal, the exception to the rule, let's try to figure out why we do what we do. So the truth is that Havdalah itself is really one bracha. The bracha of Hamazvin Kershukol, that's really the bracha of Havdalah. Chazal instituted the bracha of Havdalah ala kos, the same way they instituted Kiddush ala kos, so we have to precede it with the Bar Pei Hagafen. So technically speaking, Havdalah is Bar Pei Hagafen plus Hamazvin. Where did the other two brachas sneak into? So neither of those two brachas, neither the Besamim nor the Eish, have anything to do with Havdalah per se. They're actually brachas that have much more to do with Motzei Shabbos than with the mitzvah of Havdalah. Boy Moreh Eish, the Gemara explains to us, why do we recite this bracha on Motzei Shabbos? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave das, gave wisdom, knowledge, to the Marishon to rub those first two stones together to be able to make a fire, to commemorate the grandiose creation of fire on the first Motzei Shabbos, we recite a bracha Boy Moreh Eish, but it has nothing to do with Havdalah. Similarly, the bracha Boy Moreh Besamim, most of the Rishonim assume that that has something to do with the fact that the Neshama Yaseira, that extra soul, whatever that means, that is departing us when Shabbos comes to an end. So somehow to make us feel a little bit better, again, we're streamlining what that means. We can use a lot of deep esoteric things that I don't know what it means. But bottom line is, Chazal instituted the Bracha Bar Mitzvah Samim on Motzei Shabbos also to make up for the Neshama Yaseira that is leaving. The problem is that also has nothing to do with Havdalah. So both of those brachas are Motzei Shabbos Dikah brachas. They're not really Havdalah brachas. Actually, proof positive is if a person forgot to recite Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos and they're making Havdalah for Tuesday, they don't recite either of those two brachas. Because those brachas are not really part and parcel of Havdalah. They're really brachas which are Motzei Shabbos brachas. If so, why do they end up almost being incorporated into the Havdalah service? So comes the Gemara in Pesachim in the first of the Mamukamos, Rebbe Mefazran, Rebbe Chiyam Mechansan. Rabbi Yudan Nossi's practice used to be lefazer. He would separate them. Namely, he did not recite Havdalah the way we do. He would recite Bar Pei Hagafen and Hamavdil, and that's it. And then sometimes during the course of the night, he would recite Bar Pei Hagafen, he would recite Bar Pei Hagafen. There's no need to incorporate it into the mitzvah of Havdalah per se. But Rabbi Chiya Mechansan, Rabbi Chiya used to combine them all together. That he would say the Bar Pei Hagafen together with the Bar Pei Hagafen. Amar Yitzhak Bar Vadim. So even though Rabbi Danasi personally would sometimes recite Bar Mitzvah and Bar Reish before he made Havdalah, if he saw light, he would make a Bar Reish. If he smelt Mitzvah, he would make the Bracha. He didn't necessarily incorporate into Havdalah, but he would repeat those Brachas over again when he would make Havdalah for his family members, because he wanted to make sure that they heard it, that they heard all those Brachas. So even Rabbi Danasi, to a certain extent, would incorporate it into the Havdalah. So comes Rashi in the second of the Mamre comes. Rashi says, Rabbi Mefazrim, Rabbi Kishira Or Mevarech Labiyad. As soon as Rabbi saw a candle on Tuna Shabbos was over, he made a Bar Reish. And if they brought him Besamim a little later, he'd make the Bracha on that. Makansan, Rabbi Chia would say them all together, Ala Kos Kemosh Anu Osim. Rashi just gives a stamp of approval and says, that's what I'm going to give. Why do we do it this way? So presumably the reason for our practice is to give a little bit more chashivas, to give a little bit more significance to the besom and to the esh. Otherwise, you just kind of go on a run. I'm running out the door, bar esh. I'm running out the door, bar besom. Here, it's all together. It's all part of the whole ceremony of Havdalah. So it gives significance, it gives chashivas to it. In fact, what if you have a situation where you can't recite those brachas alakos? So you don't. Let's say, for example, on Leil Tisha B'Av, so we don't recite Havdalah, obviously, we're not going to drink any wine. And we actually don't recite Bar Mitzvah either because we don't want to make ourselves feel too good. But the Bracha Bar Mitzvah we do recite, but we recite it without a kos. Because Bar Mitzvah is not really linked to Havdalah per se. It's a Minhag Yisrael following the view of Rabbi Chiya that we stick it together, but it's not absolutely necessary. Now the fact that we have accepted this practice of sticking all the brachas together into one, this potentially creates a brachas issue. Because if the bracha of Bar Mitzvah and Bar Mitzvah don't really have to be there, why aren't they a hefsek between the bar pre-agafen and the drinking of the wine? So the answer is that even though they don't have to be there, but it makes sense to put them there. It's acceptable to put them there. It's logical to put them there because it does grant significance to those brachas, and therefore they become so part and parcel of the ceremony of Havdalah that the same way that the bracha of Hamavdim and Kosh Lechol is not a hefsek, the bar mitzvah is and the bar mitzvah is not a hefsek either. So the bottom line is the practice of all the Faisal for the last 1800 years. So you make Bar Piyagofen, then you make a Bar Mitzvah, then you make a Bar Reish, then you make a Mavdil, and then you drink the wine. And the fact that you had a long, long, long hefsek from Bar Piyagofen to the end doesn't really seem to concern us. So the problem, of course, becomes, the Medvam Amur, when does any of this make sense? That's when everything was done properly. But the minute that a Bar Mitzvah got snuck in there that didn't belong, because there was no Mitzvah to smell. Well, for that matter, if somebody would recite a Bar Mitzvah on a light that wasn't entitled to recite that bracha, you would presumably have the same problem. Namely, now you snuck a bracha in there that's not applicable, doesn't make any sense. So isn't that serve a hefsek? So maybe one should take the following approach. Maybe one should take the approach, okay, it's a hefsek, big deal. So you know what? I won't drink the wine. I made a Bar Piyagofen, I made a Bar Mitzvah, my Bar Mitzvah got the bracha Matala. I'll make the Eish, I'll make the Havdalah, and put the wine away, spill it out. I won't drink the wine altogether because I'm not sure whether my Bar Piyagofen is still intact. So that's not a good option because that's the third of the Mamre Kamos. The Gemara Pesachim Daf Kuf Hei Beis tells us, that whenever you recite a bracha on Kiddush or Havdalah or Bechta Mozon or anything like that, you have to have some of the wine to drink. You can't just make a Bar Piyagofen and then call it a day. In order to be Yotzei Havdalah, you have to be Toim. How much you have to be toim? So the Gemara tells us you have to be toim molly lugma. You have to have a cheekful. If you're an advertised person, about 1.5 ounces, give or take, of grapes or wine in order to be called a mevarech tzar shehitom. So the option of just saying, well, I goofed up the bracha, I messed it up, and forget about it, so that is not an option to do. So forget about that. And now, maybe one could say as follows. I have a new idea. I have a new option. Maybe I should say that my bracha of Bar Mitzvah Besamim was not levatola. Who said it's levatol? Maybe what I'll do is very simple. True, I made a Bar Mitzvah, can't smell anything. The besom were ruined by the grape juice. I'll go to the kitchen and yank out another set of besom. I'll go find something else and have that original bracha Bar Mitzvah relate to the new besom. So that sounds like to make everybody happy. That will salvage the bracha. I'll no longer have a problem of bracha levatola. And if it's not a bracha levatola, so then I'm good to go. Then the bracha is still intact, and it wasn't the hefsek. So it sounds like that's a great solution. So the answer is that is not such a great solution, because it's not at all simple that bracha of Bar Mitzvah can take effect on something that I wasn't planning on selling in the first place.
Does it make a difference whether it's the same thing, you have more of the same?
Right, so we're going to see in a minute that at the end of the day, it's probably not going to make much of a difference. So now we have a new shayla. I make a bar b'nei b'samin. Is that bracha bar b'nei b'samin only intact on the b'samin in front of me? Or can that bracha relate to the b'samin in the kitchen? We say to relate to the bracha of the summer in the dining room, the summer I wasn't even dreaming of using. How far could that bracha bar b'nei b'samin go? So that is a gemara, not about the bracha of the summer, but about the bracha bar pri agofen, and it's really a very, very similar kind of a shayla. So take a look at the fourth of the Mamakamas. There is a gemara m'sachim on daf kuf gimel beis. Gemara tells the following story: a meimar ubar zutra bravashi habuyas ve'besuda. These three great amoraim were sitting together and eating a meal. V'koya liar Rav Acha b'rei de Rava. And Rav Acha b'rei de Rava was serving them. So to keep track of who the guest at the meal, who's the waiter at the meal. Sounds like everyone's big, one bigger chashav tam chacham than the next. So you have a meimar, a muzutra, and Rav Ashi sitting and eating, and Rav Acha b'rei de Rava serving them. A meimar barich al kol kosev akosev. So every time a meimar had a cup to drink, another cup of wine, a drink for whatever he was drinking, so whatever he drank, every time he recited a new barich pri agofen. Umar zutra, Baruch HaKosa Kama, VeKosa Basra. Marzutra only recited the Bar Pri Agofen on the first cup that he drank and on the last cup that he drank. Now, what was the last cup? That was the cup after benching. Probably he must have led the benching. So he recited the Bar Pri Agofen on that last cup of wine. All the cups in between, he didn't recite a new bracha on. Rav Ashi Baruch HaKosa Kama, Vesula Baruch. Rav Ashi only recited the Bar Pri Agofen on the first cup and didn't make a new bracha on any of the cups, including the coast after benching. Apparently, he must have also drank from the coast after benching, that he didn't recite a new bracha on any of the subsequent coasts. So now you have three gedolim. So this is like a bad joke about three Jews and three opinions. This is mamash three different shittas. It's a gedolim oilam, the last of the Amoraim, a name of Masut Ravashi, almost like the second to last generation of Amoraim. They're all sitting at a meal, and each one is doing something else. One person's making a bar paragraph on everything. One's making only on the first and the last. And one is only making the first and not even the last. So the poor waiter was confused. Amalu Rav Acha bar Rava, Anan Kemanavid. So what should we do? What's the bottom line? What is the halacha? Who is right in effect? So comes the Gemara now, explains. Each one is explaining why he did what he did. A Neymar Omar Niblach Ano. A Neymar said, the reason why I made an additional bracha every single time is because I changed my mind about drinking. When I had that first cup of wine, I wasn't interested. I wasn't planning on having a subsequent cup. And then 5 minutes later, I changed my mind. So that first bar pri agofen could only relate to that which I actually drank, which I actually had in mind to drink. If I changed my mind 5 minutes later and have another cup, that wasn't covered by the original bracha. So Neymar said, you can't really be dying anything from what I did. What I did is agreed upon by everybody. But Neymar said, just my matzias, my facts were that I wasn't planning on drinking anything subsequently. What about everybody else? Marzutra Amar Marzutra said as follows. Ana da'avdi ki tamidei d'rav. Marzutra said, I followed the tamidim of Rav. Who, where, what was the tamidim of Rav? So that's part of the previous Gemara. Gemara explains that Marzutra held as follows. Marzutra, when he took that first cup of wine, he was planning on drinking more. He knew he was planning on drinking more, and therefore there was no need, it would be a bracha levatal of him, to recite subsequent brachas on the next couple of kosas. If so, didn't he know he was going to drink from the benching wine? Why did he recite a new bar pri agofen after benching? Wasn't that still covered from by the original bracha? So that's what Tamida de Rav said. The students of Rav taught us, benching is an absolute objective end of a bracha. There's no way you can keep a bracha going if you're benched already. Benching is the end, so pasuk, it's the end of the story, and history starts over again. So therefore, even though if you have in mind, I'm going to continue eating, and I bench, then for sure you have to make a new bracha. So therefore, Masutra said, I'm not arguing with a meimar. We all hold the same thing. We both agree, just each one of us has different drinking plans. A meimar's plans would have one cup, and therefore when he changed his mind, he had to make a new bracha in each subsequent cup. I had in mind to drink all the cups, and therefore I did not make a new bracha. The only reason why Nebuchadnezzar had to make a new bracha on the last one is because benching was an objective break. What about Rav Ashi? Rav Ashi didn't even make a bracha on the benching wine. So Rav Ashi Amalei Suchas Kitamid Derav. That Rav Ashi said, we don't follow Tamid Derav. And the Gemara goes back and forth to show why we should or should not follow Tamid Derav. So at the end of the day, there are two different factors that are going into the Shaila. Do you make another bracha? Do you not? So one factor is the personal preference. What are you planning on drinking or not? And then number two, do you think that there's an absolute break, an objective end of a meal that occurs when one benches? So depending on what you think about those two factors, that's going to explain why there are three different positions. But what is crystal clear from the Gemara? Everybody agrees to what Amemar did. Amemar, whether his drinking habits were agreed upon by everybody, is a different story, but everyone agrees about halacha fundamentally, that if you make a bracha on something and you're not planning on having more, so then you would be required to recite a new bracha when you decide to have more. The Gemara says in Masechet Brachos that the only exception to this would be if you're a guest in somebody's house. If you're not in charge, so then you don't really know what your plans are. Your plans are whatever the host gives me. If the host gives me more, I'm going to have more. So let's say you make a bracha on some piece of cake at the end of the, let's say, excuse me, you make, didn't wash, whatever it is. You made a bracha on a piece of cake, and now you had no idea whether you're going to get more cake or not. And now the host puts more cake in front of you, so you are buffled to what the host is, because you're doing whatever the host is going to do. Your das is linking up to what the host is. So I think we mentioned Kotorah before, so there is a humorous story about Yeshivas Kotorah. Do you know the part of the story about this din? There is a story that's floating around in the name of Rosh Shlomo Zalman, that the Yeser Shlomo Zalman, when a person is a Rosh Yeshiva Yeshiva, is he like the host, or is he like a guest? So Nafka Mida L'Gav Yuchas Brachas. So if you hold, you're the Baal boss, so then your das determines everything. If you hold that you're just a guest in yeshiva, but the board is really running the yeshiva, so the Baal Bas is running the yeshiva, then you're like a guest. So the way the story goes, again, maybe you can confirm with some old Qatar people, the way the story goes is that Rosh Shlomo Zalman said that he used to think that he was the host in the yeshiva, and then he realized after many years he was the guest in the yeshiva. Other people were in charge of the people in the yeshiva. So that could potentially alter his brach. But getting back to that story. So one thing is clear from this Gemara, that if and when you really do change your tune in the middle, and you decide, yesh b'yayin, to have another cup of wine, then for sure you have to recite a new bracha. Everybody agrees to that. So l'chora, the same is now true vis-a-vis our besamim. So if when I made a bracha, the besamim had in mind to smell multiple besamim, so then, okay, then my b'rom and besamim covers everything. But if I didn't have that money, the average person makes a b'rom and besamim to a Shabbos, they're not planning on walking around the house and collecting all the other clothes in the house. They're planning on making the bracha once in front of you, ad kan b'lo yosef. So that would throw into the question that I can no longer keep that original bracha intact. I'm back to square one. So it turns out that the bracha of the summer was in fact the bracha of Atala. So getting back to our story. So we've just ascertained that the bracha of Berman of seven was an absolute bracha of Atala. Felicium suffering, it was I don't have to clap my head. I didn't mean to. It wasn't my fault. How am I going to know that the guy's still great for some of the summer? But the Maisa, maybe I should clap my head for Shogeg. It's another story. But the Maisa, the bottom line is they made a bracha of Atala. Now the question is, how do I rectify that? So I can't rectify that by not drinking the wine because then I'm not yet. I can't rectify that by just bringing more besamim and saying, well, let that correct the bracha because that's not going to help. We'll have to make a new bracha besamim. So I'm really stuck with the pickle. There's really nothing for me to do. I have to really pass the shaila now. There's no other way to get around the shaila. I have to finally decide, does this bracha disqualify my previous bracha or not? That's the real shaila. Bottom line is we're back to square one. Does my bracha pri hagafen still stand, or should I say that since I talked in the middle, that's going to ruin for me? So where do we even have a precedent for this idea that talking after making a bracha ruins it? Every kid knows this. You make a bracha, you make a bracha pri, then you start to talk. That's a problem. How do you know that? Where does that come from? So the Gemara has it in a little bit. One of the contexts of the Gemara is actually concerning brachas habitzas, concerning tefillin. The Gemara talks about if a person talks between the tefillin shayad and tefillin shirosh after making a bracha, it's not clear whether it's one new bracha, two new bracha, then a complicated sugya. But the Gemara does speak about in a few places about talking potentially disqualifying brachas. So the assumption of the halacha is correct, like we learned as little kids. If you talked, that's going to ruin your bracha. So the question is, did you talk or not? So the answer is, of course you talked. I was a shageg, I didn't mean to, but the maisi you talk, the maisi you masik. So Rabbi Kiveger was of the opinion that in Ochinami, the answer to that question is that you really goofed, you really messed it up, and you have to start all over again, and your bracha pri'agafen is not intact anymore, and the only way to fulfill a dollar properly is start all the way back from scratch, make a new bracha pri'agafen, find some new smelling besamim, and then continue all the seder. That's what Rabbi Kiveger meant. So Rabbi Kiveger had this comment, actually not even about besamim, he was talking about aish. A person made a bracha aish, and then realized a second later that the aish was problematic. There was something wrong with this aish that didn't warrant whatever those details are. Not every aish can necessarily warrant reciting a bracha on. So So now you're in a pickle, says Rabbi Kiveger, you have to start over again. So the post can point out that according to Rabbi Kiveger, it's the same, what's the difference? If my Aish is not intact and my Bissam is not intact, the bottom line is either one of them is going to ruin my Bar Piyah Gofen. So that was the psak of Rabbi Kiveger.
So we say it's related to the minister.
Oh, okay, that's what we're going to get. We'll get to that in a second. So when this shall happen to me, so I froze, I made the Bar Piyah Gofen, and then I realized there's no hope, and now I had to make an on-the-call decision. It wasn't tough to sit alone in the sugya. So my knee-jerk reaction was, even though I could hear this svara, I didn't realize it was a Kiveger setup, but I thought of it right away. That sounds like it's a hefsek, sounds like we're in trouble, sounds like we have to make a Bar Piyah Gofen. My knee-jerk reaction was not that way. My knee-jerk reaction was, I don't think you have to make another bracha. You know why? Because without knowing if Kiveger is hefsek, you know why? Because based on what's being suggested. Namely, there is a Gemara, a very famous Gemara, on the fifth of the Mem Kodos. The Gemara tells us in Brachas, Daf Mem and Aleph, Amarav, Tol Baruch in a Tzoch Lavarech. If a person recited Hamotzi, and then they haven't eaten yet the bread, and they start telling people, take the piece, eat the bread, eat the bread. They start to talk about things that are relevant to the Bracha. In a Tzoch Lavarech, that's okay. That does not disqualify the Bracha. Or, Chavim Melach, a person says, Hamotzi Lech Mirarach, and realizes no salt. They say, bring the salt. The question whether that's even true is not as that. We don't know. Need salt is not as that. But whatever the example is. Havi Lifton. The person says, he just made a motzi on the challah, and he wants to put some hummus on the challah. So he says, look, bring out the dips. I need the hummus. So according to one opinion, the Gemara, Tzach Levarach, that's considered to be maybe a hefsek. None of that's considered to be a hefsek. Like gvil a tori, Tzach Levarach. But if you say, if you made a motzi, feed the animals, that's called the hefsek. Even if you made hamotzi and then you realize, Gevalt, I didn't feed the animals. So you tell your wife, quickly, go give the fish something to eat. Go give the dog something to eat. That's not called a hefsek. Why? You're not allowed to eat before you give your animals to eat first. You have to give the animals first. It has to be the chesed, the rachamim, and then you can eat afterwards. The Magen Avraham writes that doesn't apply to drinking. Drinking, you're allowed to drink first. And it brings a rye from the sixth Pasha. Pasha Chayisara. Rivka gives Eliezer to drink first. And then after he finishes drinking, then and only then does she give the camels to drink. But I'm leaving it out for now. But the bottom line is that since it's necessary to ask for salt, and necessary to ask for a dip, and necessary to distribute the bread, and necessary to feed the animals, so that doesn't constitute a hefsek. And therefore, it's permissible. The post can point out that what about if you want to feed your workers? Forget about the animals. What if you have, let's say, a non-Jewish worker? She's helping in the kitchen. So you're not supposed to sit down and eat before you give her tea. You're supposed to offer it. She doesn't want to eat till later. That's her prerogative. But you're not allowed to sit down and eat your meal until you offer her to eat first. So I've had this several times when, say, we washed. We're sitting down about to eat a Shabbos Yontif meal. The Ozerik, a non-Jewish woman is helping out in the kitchen. And then I realize, Gevalt, I'm not allowed to make a motzi until I offer her to eat. So I'll be mamish at that, even before, it's a much less of a hefsek before I'm hopeful. Even that's not such a serious hefsek. But I'll mamish stop in the middle, and I'll walk over and I'll say, please take something to eat first before we sit down and eat. Because otherwise, the Gemara says that's a violation of eating before you feed the animals, flesh, kabachamim, to your workers. So back to the story. What do you see from this Gemara? That whatever is relevant to the issue doesn't constitute a hefsek. That's what Rashi says. That told Baruch in the sixth of the Ramakomis, Habotzea kodim she ta'am min afusa. I cut the challah, and I didn't taste it yet. Bought some remano. I cut a piece for Hoshel Bishetzel, and I hand it to somebody else. Yomel told me, Prutzas Habrachai. Tell him, take this piece of bread. Afa Bishetzach bin Adayim. Even though I talked. Ain't talk lachsel of Baruch. You don't have to go back. Afa Begav the Sicha Avi Havsach. Even though speaking is normally a Havsik. Kidam Bidim Benachas. Sach Bidfu. So on so on. Even though normally that's the rule. Here, this is the exception to the rule because it's the Inyan. The Inyan, it's relevant to the issue at hand. So my knee-jerk reaction as I'm standing there with the besom in one hand, it doesn't smell, and the cup of grape juice in the other hand, I thought to myself, you know what? Why isn't what just happened, why is that fundamentally different from this? Here, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm paying attention to Abdullah. I'm following what it says in the sitter. I made a burner of some of this I'm supposed to. And never, somebody goofed and threw grape juice on my besom, so it doesn't smell now. But I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to do. I haven't been with Sheikh Das. I haven't lost track of what I'm doing in Abdullah. I didn't have in mind to lose my Bar Piyah Gofen. So my initial reaction was, stop it, that's not a hefsek. I can continue to make Avdallah and drink the wine, I'll smach the Rishmat Brach. So that's what I did.
What happened to Rabbi Kiveger?
Oh, but I didn't know the Rav Shmuel at the time. So as I'm holding this grape juice and the summon, I thought initially like Rav Shmuel, and then I said, nah, I don't think so. Then after Avdol was over, I said, I'm going to test if it actually happened. So I start to scrounge around a little bit, and I see, the Mishnah Berurah quotes Rav Shmuel. So I start to have Chulis Tadas. Then I looked a little bit further, and I saw that Rav Noivitch, Yerushalmi Kirchosa, quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman, again, twice in the night, quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman, who says the dinner of Kivega is tough here. He says it's a big pella of the dinner of Kivega. Why is it a pella? He asks Rav Shlomo Zalman, this Gemara. Mamashi brings back this Gemara. He says, against Rav Kivega, says he doesn't understand it. He doesn't understand why Rav Kivega said it. L'chayra, it should be covered by this Gemara. So now what do we do? Kivega says you have to make a bracha. Shlomo Zalman says he's night that you don't have to. I think midei svafik is suffik brachas on nafik. If you're not sure whether to make a bracha, the din is suffik brachas l'hokul. So if someone were to ask me, Rabbi, do I now make another bracha for your gofet? I'd say it's a suffik. If Rabbi Kivega says one way, Shlomo Zalman Paskin the other way, he says midei svafik l'nafka, and therefore suffik brachas l'hokul. And suffik brachas l'hokul means you don't make a bracha, and you can drink the wine, and there's nothing wrong with drinking the wine. So I just write some brachas. According to most rishonim, suffik brachas l'hokul doesn't only mean you don't make a bracha. It means you're allowed to go ahead and partake of the food without reciting a bracha, that's okay. Suffik brachas l'hokol, paskins up, you're not have to make a bracha. So I felt a little bit better. Not perfectly better, but a little bit better that at least we had what to
do. The fact that the wine with grape juice has also
sometimes
grey
up. I don't know about that. I was trying really hard to smell that, so I couldn't smell stink through the grape juice. I don't know. Anyway, that's okay. Anyway, the whole part of it just wanted to share that particular shalom. So I think that in a couple of minutes early tonight, because that's why I started really on time. First time, really on time, we started on time. I just have to end a couple of minutes, I have to go run somewhere now. But anyway, we'll get a little bit of the background of this particular shalom.